one of the guys that I was friends with in high school passed away. So same age as me, massive heart attack, no warning whatsoever, must have been the Widowmaker kind of thing. And the song that we've come to praise him, you ought to praise the Lord while you have a chance. You don't know what tomorrow is. Yes. You need to praise the Lord today.
Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
The Lord.
Thank you,
praise
Lord.
The Lord.
Thank
praise
you, Lord.
The Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this old song.
Anybody that doesn't have what you have ever ask, why are you so happy? It's that joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is, I got it and I know that I have it, experience that they don't have that resonates off me that makes them ask that question. I was thinking of what Sister Davis was saying just a few minutes ago. You ought to praise the Lord while you have a chance. I remember this vividly. I don't think Sister Pat was here, but it was years ago before I was even filled with his spirit. I was sitting in the back, and there was a man that came here on a Sunday night, Brother Davis, and he would come every so often, and he was reading people's mail. And he came up to me, and he says, you need to praise God while you can, because there may come a time when you're not able to praise him. That hit me right in the chest. And it was at that moment that I came to the altar and I lifted my hands and began to worship him. Because I'm thinking, I'm not guaranteed the next day. I need to do this while I can, while I have the opportunity. I remember Sister Pat, she goes, you know what? I will never be slain in the spirit. She was slain in the spirit that night. Praising the Lord while I have a chance. Having that opportunity. It is an opportunity and a privilege to praise Him while we have a chance. It is not out of grudgingly or out of necessity, but I cheerfully give from a thankful and a grateful heart to give Him all the praise that He deserves in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have a grateful heart, it is so easy to praise Him. If you're ungrateful, it is really hard to praise Him. It is just a simple thing. I just want to praise Him with a grateful heart. It is an out of abundance, Lord, that I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, for what You've done, for who You are, in Jesus' name. I want to lift You up and praise You and magnify You, Lord, in word and deed and thought and action, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it's no accident. Sister Davis mentioned of a man that was her age that passed away at a heart attack. And today's lesson is entitled, A New Heart. And our text this morning, we're going to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 also says there this, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can be seated at this time. I feel like I need to pray one more time before I get started. Lord, we need You, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. I don't want to be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, Lord, here before You right now, Lord, but I believe, Lord, that it is very important, Lord, that the Word is going forth, that it is Your Word spoken with Your heart and Your mind, in Jesus' name, Lord. Anoint this very hour, Lord. Put Your anointing upon me, Lord. Anoint every heart and mind, Lord. May they be receptive and respond to Your Word here in this place today, Lord, from upstairs to downstairs and to the four walls that we're in here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Greg Robbins had a heart attack at age 48. After open heart surgery, his heart was only working at 25%, and he needed a heart transplant to live. It was on September 16th of 2016. Robbins was told a heart was available. That same day, he went into surgery and received Greg Rick's heart after Greg had been killed in a car accident. 6 months later, Rick's mother, Anna, invited the Robbins to the home of her deceased son so they could see where he had lived and met his family. The meeting was emotional. Robbins' wife, Gwen, said they knew that when someone goes on the transplant list, someone else would have to give up his life. At one point in the meeting, when Anna placed a stethoscope on Robbins' chest, she covered her mouth and burst into tears. Hugging Robbins, she said, thank you. The people who choose to be an organ donor never live to see the results, but it's the family of the donor who witness the selfless act of that decision. In the middle of their loss and sorrow, there's a small thread of joy knowing the sacrifice of their loved one helps someone else live. But deep within the pain, it's rewarding to know that their loved one is helping create hope for another person. When a person begins to have heart problems, there are many procedures and treatment plans that are prescribed to help the heart function better. When all are unsuccessful and a patient is determined to be experiencing the final stages of heart failure, the final option is to perform a heart transplant. Of the 2,000 heart transplant procedures that happen every year, only there's 3,000 on a waiting list. So the demand far outweighs the supply. The only thing that will assure and lengthen the quality of life is only a new heart. It's the same by those whose hearts are diseased by sin. The heart that we refer to most sits at the center of our emotions and feelings. It's also the core of our spiritual expression. When we confess love, it's communicated by saying, I love you with all my heart. When we express feelings of sincerity, we say we are speaking from our heart. And we often sing songs of, Lord, I give you my heart. The scripture also speaks of the heart in the spiritual and relational aspect. In David's prayer of repentance, he asks, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David, who God said was a man after my own heart, wrote often of those who were upright in heart. He asked a rhetorical question in Psalms 24, 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? He responded with his own answer, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. I don't know about you, but I want to have a pure heart. I want to have a clear conscience before God and man. He sees everything and he knows everything anyways. And I'll be honest with you, that puts a holy fear and a reverence in me all by itself. I don't need anything more than that to kind of tremble in his presence. Lord, you know everything, and in my life is an open book to you. When I confess, Lord, my life is open book to you, Lord, examine it. If there's anything wicked in me, Lord, I want to come clean. I want to be right in your eyes with a pure heart and a pure mind. That's a sincere prayer, and that's a prayer that he will speak to you. He will respond to. He will do an open heart surgery to. He will make things all new in your life. When things get cluttered up and you feel confusion in your heart and your mind, he's there to do open heart surgery and to make clarity again when things seem unclear. And I'm so thankful for that. There is no physician like God who is able to perform a heart surgery like no other physician that has ever walked the face of this earth. And I'm so thankful for that. On the other hand, the gossiper is depicted as a talebearer with a wicked heart. In Proverbs 26 and 23 in the NLT, it reads, smooth words may hide a wicked heart, but just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. Jeremiah prophesied against those who walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. Heart is something that we need to protect and guard. We need to protect and guard our emotions. It's okay to open them and give them before God, but we need to guard them and protect them against things, worldly things, things that are attractive to us. We see a lot of things, and advertising is ever more present in the society and the culture we live in than any other place in the world. It is important to guard our heart and our mind continually, but keep it open before the Lord always, so he can examine it, so he can tweak it, so he can change it when he needs to. Lord, my life is an open book before you. You know it anyways. But Lord, help me to guard my heart against things, Lord, that would hurt you, that would offend you. I don't want to ever live a day of my life to where I would disappoint the God, the creator of the universe, the one that did so much for me, the one that shed his blood for me. In Jesus' name, I'm so thankful that he gives me the opportunity to just come before him with open arms. When I don't have nothing, when I don't have a penny in my pocket to give, and all I have is an open heart, he says, I can work with that. I can do something with that. What if my heart is just broken? What if I'm just contrite? He goes, you could give me that. I could work with that. I could definitely do something with that. And he could change it. He could make it new. He could make it better than it's ever been before. I'm so thankful for a God that is approachable. The God that created, the sovereign God who spoke everything into existence. The God of angels' armies in the heaven. And the God of the maker of the universe, he says, come before me. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to share your heart with me. I have a long time ago, I have determined to share my heart with you. It's a clean heart and a clear conscience. It's something that I think we all need. Whether we've been in this from day one or we've been in this for 35 years, Lord, examine my heart, Lord. I want to come clean before you, God. I want it to be pure. I want it to be holy. I want it to be acceptable in your sight, Lord, in Jesus' name. I don't want anything to hinder. You know, a hard heart is something that God will destroy the enemy. He'll use a hard heart in any enemy to destroy. I don't want to have a hard heart because I don't want to be destroyed. He has revealed to me too much. He has shown me too much. I don't want that to happen in my life. Even if it hurts, even if he's got to put his hand inside my heart and put his hand inside that vessel and that pot in the hand on the outside, and it may be uncomfortable at times, but it is for my own good. And I'm so thankful that he is gentle and loving and kindness and merciful to gently put his hand inside my heart. He's not there to destroy it. The world is out there to destroy and to ruin you and to cause you to say, you know what, you have nothing else to live for. But God says, you give me your heart. And when I touch it, it is for the better. I want to make it better than it's ever been before. This is for the one that has never known him the way we know him, and it's for the one that has known him for a lifetime. Lord, touch my heart. touch my mind. Lord, I need you, God. I need you, God, more than ever. We should never get to the place in our life to where we think, oh, we could just manage, we could handle, a place of self-sufficiency. I need to depend upon God every day. Every day of my life. I look back, and it's a choice. He could say, you can try to do this on your own, but you're going to crash and burn. You're going to hit the ditch. You're going to make a mess of things. And I'm so thankful that I could come to him, and I could acknowledge him in all my ways, and he'll direct my path. And I will never fall short or be wrong by doing that, because he will never disappoint me. He will never fail me with that sincere heart going before him. I'm thankful for that. God knows the heart more than anyone else. Just before Samuel anointed David to be king of Israel, God reminded him in 1 Samuel 16 and 7, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. He is always aware of our thoughts and our intentions." That's enough for me to just have a holy fear and a reverence, like I said a few minutes ago. A lot of times in us, in our human nature, we look at personality, we look at charisma, we look at a charm, and a lot of us will go to the polling booth and be fooled and be tricked by that. But that is so deceitful. It's just because somebody has a smiling face and has their hair combed perfectly, I'm not speaking from personal experience, but just has their appearance in a well manner, and they could speak articulately, doesn't mean that their heart is right and pure. And we shouldn't be duped by that either. We shouldn't do anything or make a decision without prayer, without going into prayer and fasting, without seeking God for his direction in our life in anything that we do. It's impossible to fix the heart with good intentions and resolutions as well. Self-improvement, positive thinking, and healthy eating will never repair the damage of this vital organ. The only hope is to receive a new heart. What began in the Garden of Eden was a simple act of disobedience in eating of the fruit of the forbidden tree produced far-reaching consequences in the perpetuation of sin through Adam, and we all share that guilt and consequences, but we can't lay the blame entirely on Adam and Eve. James 1, 14 and 15 says this, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." I am responsible for my actions. Adam and Eve were responsible for their actions. There is no exceptions. I can't put the blame on them, because they could have lived a blameless life, and it could have been 3 or 4 or 20 generations later when man could have fallen. But I am responsible for me. I am an adult. I have to deal with consequences of my actions, and I have the opportunity to come before him and get things right with him. Why I have the chance. I need to praise him while I have the chance, and I need to repent and open my heart to him while I have the chance, because we are not guaranteed another day. We need to have open heart surgery before we leave today. I believe some of us do. I'll be honest with you. I don't believe this is no accident. What Sister Davis was talking about with a dear friend that she went to school with, same age, passed away, and we're talking about a new heart. We need a new heart. We need God to just allow God to examine our heart and open it, and it may hurt. You may think, well, I've been in this for way too long to have a heart operation. You know what? Nobody is exempt here today from having a heart operation from God. I need to have it examined daily, because it gets skinned over by the things of this world. It's easy to be around and interact with the world and just get kind of numb and kind of just things not faze you. I want to be sensitive to his will. I want to be sensitive to his heart and to his mind. And if I don't feel what I should feel, when I'm in a service and somebody is sensitive to the move and the Spirit of God, and I don't feel nothing, Lord, examine my heart. I need to run to the altar. Say, God, examine my heart. Why am I not feeling what that brother or sister is feeling here today? Why do I feel like everything is okay and they don't feel like everything is okay? Lord, examine my heart. Lord, let it be an open book before you, God, right now. I don't know whether it's during the Sunday school portion or the next hour, but if we could just take a moment, God, examine every one of our hearts right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for a manifestation, Lord. I pray, Lord, for a demonstration in Jesus' name, Lord. Our lives are always an open book to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're a fool to think otherwise. We're a fool to think, Lord, we could do and manage anything on our own, Lord. We depend upon you, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We want to have a pure heart and a clean conscience before you first and then the man, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Examine every one of our hearts today, Lord, for all those who are willing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sin and the curse weren't the only things that began in the garden. The promise of redemption and restoration were also found in the garden as well. While sin promises wages, God gives gifts. Romans 6:23 says this, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If I put the blame on something or somebody else, it gives me the inability to confess my sin. But when I take ownership of my actions, I take ownership of my thoughts, and I confess it before God, that gives him the ability to forgive me of my sin. Lord, you don't understand what that person did to me or how I was treated in life. That doesn't matter. God, I confess my sin. I'm responsible. I made a mistake. And I give it before you because I need forgiveness of that sin just as much as that person that may have done me wrong needs forgiveness of their sin. In Jesus' name. Ezekiel was called to declare God's word to rebellious people who were in exile in Babylon because of their sinful ways. He was warned that the people wouldn't receive his message and repent, but Ezekiel pursued his calling and his purpose anyways. That's incredible. Lord, he knows what the outcome's going to be. He knows the response, but have an obedient faith. The fault's going to lie upon them. I'm going to share with them the news. I'm going to share with them an opportunity that God wants you to turn to them, to him, to repent and to get things right. And he gives every one of us an opportunity. If we're here today, we have an opportunity to repent. And just think that we prayed a prayer of repentance one time in our life before we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not enough. We need to daily come before God with repentance, with a repentant heart, with a contrite heart. I need God to examine me every day. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need my heart to be, if I want others to be affected by God, my heart needs to be affected first. What makes me any different than them is I'm willing to just have an open heart, to be humble and open to him, that others may be open and humble themselves before him as well. That's an incredible thing, and that's a great example that we could be to everyone in our community, in the workplace, anywhere. Ezekiel faithfully delivered the word of God and the desire of God to restore his people and to rebuild a nation. In Ezekiel 36 and 24, it says, "For I will take you from among the heathen, and I will gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." He only has good thoughts and good intentions for us. Even when I'm not doing the right thing, he's thinking ahead. I don't see, God always sees us not where we are in our present moment, but he sees us ahead. He sees us clothed in his righteousness. He sees us made whiter than snow, and I'm so thankful for that. I have that opportunity. I have the opportunity for repentance. I have that opportunity to be made clean again, to be made whole again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is a restorer. He can put things that are out of place back in its proper place. He can restore things that have been damaged and make them better than they've ever been before. Jeremiah also announced the promise of restoration. God sends multiple people out there. "I want to restore you. I want to make all things new in your life. I want better for you." God always wants better for us. Jeremiah 24:7 says, "I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." God is a jealous God, and God he is always reaching out for us. "For they shall return unto me with their whole heart." He is reaching out with his heart, and he wants us to reach back with an open heart in response. You don't have to worry about getting hurt when you have an open heart towards God. You are susceptible to being hurt if you open yourself up to anything else, but to other than God's heart. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you are weary, heavy laden, if you are distressed emotionally, physically, mentally, if life has poured all it can out upon you, he says, come unto me. Share your heart with me. Kneel before me. Sit on my lap. Feel my heartbeat. I want to share my heart with you. Share your heart with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ezekiel prophesied in the middle of the valley of dry bones. He was instructed to prophesy to first the bones and to second the wind and to finally the people of Israel. The people would say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. And then Ezekiel responded with this from a word from the Lord. I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel and shall put my spirit in you and ye shall live and shall have, and I shall have place in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Not only is he saying that he will do it, he is a keeper of his word. If he says he's going to do something, he will do it. We can rest assured on it. We don't have to worry about it. A lot of times we get hung up and our faith will begin to waver because we think things should happen in our time frame. But God says, I will do it in my time frame. He's a sovereign God because he works in times and seasons. He makes the times and seasons, and he will perform it. And we just got to surrender. Lord, I trust in you. I give everything I have to you. I don't want to walk, if God takes me to the wilderness for a season, I don't want to be stuck there for years on end. It is there for a time. God sends his people in a wilderness for him, for them to put their trust in him. And then he goes, I will take you to the promise. God may be tweaking some of us here today. I have a promise for you, and I want to fulfill a promise in your life, but I want you to trust me. The prerequisite for the fulfillment of my promise in your life is for you to trust me. You know what? That should be enough for me to say, I just need to let go of everything and give it to God. I want that promise, and I don't want to die with that promise unfulfilled in my life. And I don't want to doubt him. I don't want to laugh at him. I don't want to scoff at this promise. I want this promise. He's a yay and amen God with yay and amen promise. Lord, I pray, Lord, for a gift of faith to be imparted into this place here today, Lord, for this hour and the next hour in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God's desire for Israel was that they might have a new heart and to be filled with his spirit. His restoration plan was more than bringing the nation of exile back to their promised land. God's plan was greater than property and provision. His purpose was to bring them into relationship with him. When the fullness of the time had come, Jesus was born to bring this plan into reality. John declared Jesus to be the Word of God. In John 1:14, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Aren't you thankful that you have the revelation that the Word was made flesh? I don't have to pray to God in certain titles. Am I going to pray to the God of the Father? Am I going to pray to God of the Son? Am I going to pray to God of the Holy Spirit this morning? I don't have to do that. I'm so thankful that God gave me this revelation because all three are one, and I could just pray to one God. Hallelujah. Not everybody has that revelation. We should never take it for granted for what we know and what God has revealed to us. Because I was raised in a church that did not believe that. And I'm thankful that he has opened my understanding and filled me with his spirit and showed me things that I've never seen before. And I just want to encourage you for the ones that, just like Nicodemus, he said, Lord, I don't get what you're trying to say. That which is born of flesh and flesh, that which is born of spirit of spirit, marvel not that I say you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't wrap his mind around it at the time, though he took a chance to be criticized by his peers and say, you know what, I want to inquire more about the Lord, but I don't quite get this. We need to be patient for the ones that don't get it yet, because God will put that little light bulb over their head at just the right time and give them the understanding. We need to pray for the ones that don't get it yet. God, you're gonna open their understanding at just the right time. It is incredible when you see somebody get something they never got before. God just manifests it and says, wow, I never saw it like that. I've been there. I've been in that home Bible study where that happened to me, and it was mind-blowing. And what is awesome is when you see it happen to somebody else for the first time. Just like a child says, what's that, Dad? What's that up in the sky? That's a star. That's an airplane. That's the moon. Here's the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. And they see things for the first time in the spiritual realm that they've never seen or heard of before. And that's going to be exciting for us to see that in other people. And it's okay. You being excited right now is faith to believe that you're going to see this happen in somebody else's life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He doesn't want you to just come in here and says, you know what, I just barely made it into the door this morning. But he wants you to thrive and have a new life that he has given you and me. God, forgive me if I have the mindset of I just need to make it through the day. Lord, forgive me. He has empowered us with so much more than just surviving in this. We should have our heads and our chins held up higher than anybody else. And other people may be thinking, what is up with those people? Do they know what kind of world that we're living in? Yes, we do. But there is a hope in me that it supersedes anything that I see or hear in the news media. Whether it's on CNN or MSNBC, I don't really care. Because God's hope is within me, and something has been birthed in me, and I can't deny it. I got it, and I know that I have it, and it is bubbling up inside me. We need to walk out the door every day of our life, of our house, with our cup running over. I need to just let it spill. Lord, let it spill. Lord, let my cup run over. If it gets on people, that's okay. I don't really care. If it gets a little messy, it's a messy in a good way. Because life is poured out messes in their lives, but you want to pour out the goodness of God in their life. God has equipped you. He has filled you to pour you out into somebody else's life, to give them hope. They aren't able to fix it on their own. They don't have the ability or the capacity to fix what is messed up in their life. But God has the ability to fix what is messed up in their life. And we are that hope for them, every one of them. Jesus spoke in spiritual things drawn from the understanding of natural things. He would say, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that was born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, you must be born again. I want to see people born of the water and of the spirit again. I believe that's happening. I'm anticipating it. Whether it happens at one at a time or 20 or 30 at a time. Don't be razzled by numbers when I say 20 or 30. God could do way much more than that. God could put people from that back door up here in line to get baptized in Jesus' name in one day. I'm not going to limit God what he is able to do. That little small church and Sandwich and that parking lot may not be full all the time. God could fill a valley in a desert with a river of water in one day, in one moment. He could fill this place to capacity in one day, in one moment. I'm believing that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That expectation is from God alone. That is not expectation is not from Tom. That is expectation is from God. When we respond in faith to the gospel message, God will lead us into the fulfillment of this spiritual experience. The birth of the water and of the spirit. That's why we have altar calls. It's an opportunity for us to respond in faith. We have an opportunity every day to respond in faith. It is good for us to respond in faith and to be an example to come forward in faith, because our faith and obedience could be the very thing to cause somebody else to break the bondages of them, to break the stronghold in their life, to break the chains in them, to come forward as well. Brother Cal, maybe you didn't feel like coming forward on a particular Sunday morning, but you came forward and somebody else from another part of the sanctuary just came forward because he saw somebody else stepping out in faith. He said, if my brother or sister could step out in faith, I'll step out in faith as well. That's just obedient faith. That's just being an example. Let's say God did it for me. He's able to do it for you. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, crowds would grow as a word would spread concerning this phenomenon of people speaking in tongues. They never heard or even learned or seen anything like this before, behaving as though they were drunk and it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Thousands gathered in the courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem, where Peter stood along with the other disciples. Peter began to explain that this was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want to have that experience here in Sandwich. This was that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This was that that latter rain that God was talking about. You know, the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. This is what I'm speaking of in faith here today. The latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain in Jesus' name. And when we see it manifested, I don't know if I'm going to be the one standing up here or Brother Johnson, he'll say, this is that latter rain that I've been talking about. Just like Peter says, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This was that latter rain, them lining up to be baptized on a Sunday morning. Them with the altars full from wall to wall. This is that latter rain that I've been talking about in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think I need to close here pretty soon. Hallelujah. The only problem with a heart transplant is that someone who is willing to donate his heart must die. Some have sacrificed kidneys to save another one from dialysis associated with problems of kidney failure. That's an awesome gift to sacrifice, but a person can live with one kidney, but no one can live without a heart and survive. Jesus would say this, whosoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed from death to life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. On the last evening Jesus spent with his disciples before his arrest, trial, and death, Jesus took bread and drink from the table and he gave new significance to them. With a cup in his hand, he proclaimed, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. If we could stand at this time. His blood is essential in the remission of sins, the cleansing of our spirits, and the empowerment of the new covenant in our lives. A new heart will change your life. Those who've had a heart transplant have said to having more energy, increased gratitude for the simple things in life, and a greater focus on things that are truly important. After a brush with death, it's no wonder they have a greater appreciation for life and those who in it. Jesus came to make all things new. To those who come to him are promised a new life in Christ. Again, I'm going to read the last portion of my text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm looking for a new car right now. It's a new car just seems legitimate out of my price range. But I am thankful that with his blood shed for you and me, he has a purchasing power to put a new heart in every one of us. He is able to purchase that, every one. Not just enough for one heart, but for all hearts, for all mankind. Aren't you thankful for the new heart and the new life he has given us and has offered to us today? At this time, we're going to open these altars up and prepare for the next portion of our services. You can come and find a place to kneel and pray in Jesus' name. Thank you. Praise the Lord, church, if we could gather in at this time. This portion of scripture is in Mark chapter 9, verses 21 through 24. It's where Jesus heals a possessed boy. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. If there's anybody here that needs a miracle today, I want to encourage you to just cry out to him this morning. It was when the father saw the miracle, right before that, he cried out to God. And I have an opportunity to cry out to God about something that I am impossible to fix on my own. If there's anybody here that has a situation that is just too much for you, that there is no doctor, there is nobody, there is no treatment available to fix whatever situation you're in, I would encourage you to cry out to him, and God, I believe, will release a miracle in your life in Jesus' name. I believe he is no respecter of persons. He will do that for you. If he did it for that father, that demon-possessed boy, he will do it for you here today in Jesus' name. Can we just reach out to him, love him with our whole heart here for the next few moments, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you are here with open arms, Lord, and reaching out to anybody, Lord, that is lost and broken here this morning in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, may we be attentive to your will, Lord. May your anointing saturate and fall upon us here in the next few minutes in Jesus' name, Lord. May we be responsive, Lord, to you, Lord. Lord, as you lead and guide and direct us here this morning in Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together.